Today on Real Radio.
This is the world we live in now. And we need to be as wise as serpents, Jesus said, and as harmless as a dove.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In the first 14 verses of chapter 4, Paul goes a little bit deep. He starts off the section describing believers as servants and stewards. In other words, the believer is called to be a giver, not a taker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called, How Can We Serve You?
If you take a stand for Jesus, you're going to get it. Here's the cool thing. I'd rather get it in this world than get it up there when it's all over. And here's the thing. You want to be committed and Lord, here we go. And you're being my leader and my guide and my provider. So here we go, Lord. Commitment. And Paul says, listen, I love all you Corinthians, but your judgment on my life, it's flawed, he is saying. Nobody knows the heart but the Lord. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 says, for I do not persuade men. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul's desire was to please the Lord. Christian, today your desire, if it's to please God, listen, you're going to win. Every time. Now I understand the context of what Paul is saying. He's speaking to the Corinthian church about leadership. But he's also in a very powerful way speaking to the leadership of the Corinthian church. And what the Bible speaks to us about is as Christians, we are all servant leaders. And that's a great thing. Second thing is this confidence, being faithful, faithful to be confident. You say, are you sure you worded that right? Yes, I did. Faithful to the confidence. You see, church, listen. Where is our confidence? Is it in us or is it in Christ? And you know what that's like. Paul is saying, I want you to know that. Confidence, being in Jesus. The word actually implies that we have the confidence to stand before Jesus. Now, this is good stuff. Listen to this. Look at verse 4 and 5. He says, for I know of nothing against myself. Can you highlight that, please, in your Bible? Tonight, when you lay your head down. God is so good. I always love to say it this way. In fact, I just said it, I think, on Wednesday night. I'll say it again. There are some people who say, Christians will say, I never heard God speak to me. Yes, you have. No, I haven't. And I'm really feeling insecure about it. No, you've heard him speak to you. Remember, you were going 85 in that 30-mile-an-hour zone? He was speaking to you. Do you remember when you had that angry thought in your head? He was speaking to you, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. When you lay your head down at night and you say, Lord, will you right now, listen, church, are you listening? This is critical. It's critical for your spiritual health, and it's a great way to fall asleep. Some people get all offended. That, oh, God, I'm so sorry I fell asleep praying to you last night. I think the Lord loves to have you fall asleep praying to him. It's better than watching Oprah or whatever else, some stupid TV show. What do you talk to God and fall asleep. And you, Lord, examine my heart right now. What today have I offended anyone? Have I done anything that is against your word? Have I offended your spirit, Lord? Search my heart. Church, listen, do this every day. Do this every day. You lay down at night, Lord, are we okay? Speak to me, Father. Let me tell you something, right? You do that, and you will never have to worry what people think because your approval will come from heaven. And you will be free and you will be liberated and you will be confident because you know where your commitment lies and you will be a normal Christian. Did you realize that if we read the book of Acts and get to the level of being normal, we will be radical. We're so far from normal in our Western world of Christianity. That normal to us is radical. If we were normal, if we were Bible-believing, Bible-living, Bible-filled Christians, we would be normal. There's that confidence. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." How does that happen? Paul is telling Timothy, be confident. He says, "For I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this." Look at this. Here's the key, church. Verse 4 and 5, he makes this announcement that he who judges me, says Paul, is the Lord. The Lord's the judge. When you read the Bible, here's the funny thing. When you read the Bible convicts you, does it not, when you read it? Huh? You're reading it, it's like, yikes! Have we not been going through Ezekiel in our daily Bible reading? Man, is that not like reading the United... This is all about America. This current reading, we're going through Ezekiel. It's like, this is about Ezekiel 9. Oy vey, wow. I mean, it's like the U.S. 3,000-year-old book. It's like it was written today about us. And you read it and you go, oh, Lord, have mercy. And then if you're not a Christian, see, the word judges us. It has the authority to do that. But if you are a backslidden Christian, you're not walking with God, and somebody comes up to you, a Christian who loves you, comes up and says, "Hey, I've been praying for you, Bubbles, and you shouldn't be sleeping with that guy. You need to get back to the Lord." You know what we hear as pastors, and the women's ministry hears this all the time? "I can't believe you're judging me. You're so unloving. I can't believe it. Why am I unloving? It says right here, as a brother or a sister, you're not married to Freddie. You shouldn't be sleeping with Fred." Now look, if your name is Bubbles in here and Fred and you guys, I'm telling you, God's speaking to you. But nobody gave me your name before service. I'm just telling you. See, when the word of God comes out of the mouth and it's the word, you shouldn't be doing this. People will often say, "You're judging me." No. The word of God judges us. Paul says, "I'm committed to the word of God judging my life." Why? In the end, we'll stand before the word of God named Jesus. He's going to take a look. Can you imagine? A moment ago, could you have raised your hand saying you're a Christian? Guess what? We're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to walk up and take a look at us. Can you imagine? It's coming. It's coming. Are you a Christian? Yes. That day's coming. Now, just hang on a minute. He knows the intent of our hearts, says the Bible. That could be good or bad. The cool thing is, when we stand before the Lord as Christians, we can't fail the test in the sense of wrong answer, to hell you go. Door opens up and down. It's not going to happen that way. You're a Christian. You're in heaven. You're being judged for why you did what you did for the Lord. Your salvation is secure. Now, there's going to be, I'm certain this is going to happen in my life. I'm going to be thinking, oh man, when the Lord examines this, when he opens up this box, it's going to be good for me. Because I know, man, that was a cool thing and that thing happened. Yeah! Jesus opens the box and just shuts it, moves on to the next thing. I was like, Lord, what's the deal? Come on, that was cool. Then he's going to go to a box and I'm thinking, uh-oh. He's going to open up that box and he's going to look at it, a smile on his face. He's going to close the lid and he's going to say, "Jack, you know, you didn't even know that I was interested in that thing. And you did that unselfishly. You did that for me. You didn't even realize it. It blessed my heart. It put a smile on my face. And I dug that." And that's, you get an A for that one. Right there. You don't know your motives all the time. We want to say, well, I'm going to go sign up. Why are you signing up? Because I want my name on the list. Do you plan on showing up? No, I'm just going to sign up. You guys, we have a lot of people sign up. Few people show up. I mean, I'm telling you, that's how it is. She shouldn't say that in church, but Pastor Jack. No, that's how it is. You have 500 people sign up to clean up after an event, and 20 show up. That's the way it is. What'd you sign up for? I want my name on the list. God knows the motive. Then there are people who don't sign up and show up. You tell me which one blesses God. I should move on, huh? Before it kind of gets any quieter in here. Listen to what Paul said in Acts chapter 20. It's one of the most moving moments of the book of Acts, certainly, and of Paul's life. He's older now. He's heading off. Not far from this utterance, he'll head to Rome. He'll die. And he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, the pastors of Turkey. He's on the beach. He's getting ready to get on a boat. And in verse 26 of chapter 20, he says, "Therefore I testify to you this day." Listen to him. He sounds kind of corny, huh? He's with a bunch of peers, pastors, the elders. "Hey, gather around, everybody." "Yeah, Paul, what's up?" "I'm leaving." "Okay." "Yeah, well, I want all you guys to raise your right hand." "Man, what's he doing? What's the big deal?" He says, "I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." This is awesome. This is convicting. "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Do you know what that means? He didn't fluff any sermons or messages. He taught them didasco, verse by verse. He taught them the Old Testament, verse by verse. I didn't pull any punches. I told you the happy verses and the not so happy verses. I told you about heaven and I told you about hell. "So therefore," verse 28, "take heed to yourselves and to the flock, which among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, protectors, defenders, feeders, and shepherd." Take care of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Don't you love the way Paul talks? "Hey, you bunch of yahoos. I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Rome, get my head cut off. You guys are going to continue on the work. You better remember something. You better be ready to lay down your life for them. That's how you can serve them. And always remember this. It ain't your church. It was bought by the blood of Jesus. And you remember that when you serve them. You remember that when they're in need. You remember that when they're hurting. You remember that when they've got problems. They're covered in his blood. It's not your blood. It's his blood. And so, you better put yourself in the place of being not the top level rower. That's easy up there. But the bottom level rower, where you're condemned to death and you're getting, you know what I mean. He says, that's the ministry. I don't know what you think, but you probably come here, because I remember sitting at Calvary Costa Mesa. I remember sitting there thinking, man, this guy's got a cool job. Pastor Chuck walks out. He just smiles. First of all, people just showed up to see him smile. Chuck Smith would show up and he would teach the Bible and he makes it look so easy. I remember when this church was starting, I went and talked to them. I said, "Pastor Chuck, will I ever get over this vomitous feeling I have that I want to vomit every time I get ready to teach the Bible?" And he goes, "Nope." And I go, "Do you ever feel like the message is just completely flopping?" And he goes, "Oh." And then I'll look at the clock and I'll see 20 more minutes of this feeling. It's so true. And it just looks, he makes it look so simple, so easy. Greg Laurie, doesn't Greg Laurie make it look easy? I've had the privilege of seeing Greg Laurie behind stage at a couple of events before he speaks. And it's the most encouraging thing you've ever seen. Because he's so, isn't he just on fire in the pulpit? And it's just so, and he's just so Greg. You know what the Bible says? And that Jesus comes back, he's going to come with great glory. Sounds like Greg Glory. Jesus is coming back with, and he'll be coming back with Greg Glory. Billy Graham would say, "Greg Glory." And but before he comes out, he's like this. And it's like, wow, man, dude, that's a great glory. He's freaking out. I like this. And something happens from the green room or the dugout of the stadium to that podium. The fire comes upon him. And let me tell you something. You're searching for that. And I know, I know that I will stand before God for this church. No other church. Hallelujah. Thank God. But this church is too big. Already too big. And I say, Lord, come on. I kid you not. Ask any staff member here. Lord, please remove those who ought not to be here and bring only those who you ordained to be here, who you want to be here. And then God, when they're here, help us. I'm serious. There's a confidence in that, but there's a terror in that. But listen, my big thing, I mean, I love you, but listen, here's the big deal. I don't love you more than Jesus. The greatest way for me to serve you is to love God with all my heart. And listen, if that's going to happen, you need to know this, if you don't already know this. If that's going to happen for realsies, then I'm going to be an enemy of Satan. He's not going to be happy about what's going on around here. And so in a church this size, there are people who are mudslingers and I don't know why and how come and you know what and all this stuff. And your voice drives me crazy and all this and... I was going to say, you know, rock throwers and pea shooters, but when you're an under rower, that's already given. When the... And the reality, you know, what? Maybe I should set up a nanny cam at my house so you can watch it online. Paul is saying, you know what? And I agree with Paul. We're all saved by the grace of God. That it's shocking to me that Christ, as Paul said, counted to be faithful by putting me into the ministry, he said. And then he turns around and Paul and Jack say, but we're unfaithful. And then the Bible says that we have been declared righteous by the holiness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, Paul turns around and says, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul says that we stand confident in that day when we appear before Christ. And then he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So what is it? It's all of the above. What do you mean? I'll end with this. Before you, it's terrifying. It's terrifying to misrepresent him. Moses did that. Must we strike this rock again to bring forth water unto you? And God, and Moses hit the rock the second time. God said, hit it the first time. Why? Because Jesus is only crucified once. The Bible says in Corinthians that Jesus was the rock in the wilderness. Moses hit it first because Jesus is crucified first. And then after you hit the rock or after Christ is crucified, you don't hit him again. You talk to him. Moses gets all ticked off. It's easy. He's Moses. See, yeah, that's stupid Moses. Hey, he's human just like us. And Moses says, must we strike this rock again and bring forth water unto you? And I don't know if there was a mouse in his pocket or what, but God had not told Moses to do that. He said, speak to the rock. God is so gracious. He's quiet. What happened? What happened the second time when Moses hit the rock? Huh? Water came out. Why? Because the people were thirsty. He blessed the people. And then he said to Moses, Mo, did I tell you to hit the rock or speak to the rock? You told me to speak to the rock. But you hit the rock. Yeah, because these people are a bunch of rebellious stinkers. And God says, well, you misrepresented me in front of the people. So you're not going to enter in. You're going to go over there and they're going to go over there. Church, don't think for a moment that God has forgotten his own righteousness and his own holiness. And you and I live in a wicked age. Be careful. Be careful what you see. You can watch TV and you don't even know what's real. You can watch something on the internet. You can't even tell if it's real. Oh, watch this guy ride his bike and he jumps off this building and he lands in China. How about Photoshop and it's not real? People say things, it's not real, but man, does it go viral? Huh? We need more discernment and wisdom than ever before, because this world is full of lies. I get a phone call. I'm on a board of a ministry that's international. They have a global outreach, discipling converted Muslims to Christianity out of Middle Eastern countries. One of the board members calls me, and the guy says, "Man, I just bumped into Josh McDowell. Do you guys all know who Josh McDowell is? Just bumped into Josh McDowell. He's really upset with you." I told him, I said, "Josh McDowell knows me?" I go, "What was he upset with me? How could he possibly be upset with me? What?" And he said, "There's this blog that's got all this stuff. You're frying Josh McDowell on the internet. Oh, you've written all this stuff." And I said to this person, "Do you think I wrote that stuff?" He goes, "No way. But Josh thinks you did. Here's his number. Call him quick." What do you think I did? I was at Lowe's parking lot when I got the phone call. "Yeah, this is Josh. Josh, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Well, what do you have to say for yourself?" And I said, "Sir, before you go any further, let me say something. Apparently there's something going around the web out there in the world, and someone's using my name to pit me against either your ministry or what. And sir, I'm here to tell you, I love your books. I've never met you, but I have to tell you that I love Jesus more than I love you. And I got to tell you, it's all a bunch of lies. I'm telling you the truth, that it's a bunch of lies and someone's made it up. And I would never sacrifice my ability to appear before my own church and do such a thing to you." He was silent. And he said, "Young man, isn't that great?" I like him. He said, "Young man, the next time I'm in Southern California, I want to have the honor of just having coffee with you. Thank you for calling me. I will make sure, listen to this, I will make sure that this is all gone away." And he said, "I have to ask for your forgiveness." And I said, "What?" And he said, "I inadvertently said some things about you in response to the email." And he goes, "I'll track those things down and I'll take care of all that." And I said, "It's a pleasure talking to you, sir. I hope someday we get a chance to meet." And we hung up. He was getting to go speak at Focus on the Family. You guys, listen. Two complete strangers. Satan got in the middle and did something. Unbeknownst to either one of us. This is the world we live in now. And we need to be as wise as serpents, Jesus said, and as harmless as a dove.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study called How Can We Serve You? It's really a mini-series that takes a look at the first 14 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul declares that we as believers are servants and stewards. In other words, believers are called to be givers, not takers. Again, the title, How Can We Serve You? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember, if you'd like to hear today's Real Radio once again, you can always visit us at realradioactive.org. Listen to today's broadcast as many times as you'd like. You can also hear past editions of Real Radio. You can even become a Real Radio podcast subscriber. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.